The William Hill Sports Show is owned and produced by William Hill. All opinions expressed by the host or guests are their own and are not endorsed by either radio station KUUB management or any of its advertisers. This is KUUB-FM Sun Valley, Reno.
It's time once again for the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Calneva. Here's your host, Kenny B.
Welcome, sports fans, to this week's edition of the William Hill Sports Show, coming to you live from the Club Calneva on ESPN 94.5 FM. I'm your host, Kenny B., here with Josh Nagel from Sportsline. What's going on, Josh?
Not too much, Ken. How are you? Early start for this Friday?
Yeah, early start, you know, because we got a basketball, of course. You know, our program director called and said, hey, you guys mind going in on at 3? And I said, no, not at all. So it gets me out about half a day's of work, so. I know all you guys work full days. Well, not you, Arnie. Arnie doesn't work at all.
No, I don't.
Josh, gotta make sure you follow Josh's stuff on Sportsline. You know, we'll get into that a little bit later. John the Hawk Stevens across from me. What's going on, John?
Yes, sir. What's happening?
Not much. Crazy. A lot of stuff going on, isn't there, John? I mean,
yeah.
From the hockey to the, you know, the Sixers and the basketball, and man, we'll get into that too. And to my far left, begging to come on the show,
begging
today. It went down just like this. Hey, when can I come on the sports show again? Mm-hmm. I said 3 p.m. at the Neva. He says, I'm there. Arnie States.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Good. You can need it. That microphone, you got to fix Arnie's.
Arnie doesn't know how to talk into the microphone all
I'm
sudden.
Talking right into the microphone.
There we go. Must be our board guy. Come on, bud.
Get it together.
Geez. Clean it up.
Gosh. So,
I know. Kentucky Derby, you know, coming on. Big horse race. Obviously, we're going to get into a little bit of that a little bit later. But like I said, Arnie States, what's going on, bud?
Nothing, man. I'm just here, and I'm happy to be here. And I've got a show coming up here on June 9th.
June 9th, Arnie.
I'm so excited.
Arnie Comedy Show. It'll be your third one that you've held here at the Clark County.
Yes.
It's called The Year of the Ass.
Correctamundo, the Arnie State Show.
The Arnie State Show, so
See?
We can say that.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Hopefully we can say that.
Mm-hmm.
Chasen's back in the studio, and I'm sure that he's got his finger on the delay, you know, knowing since.
They're all scared knowing I'm in there.
Yeah. So.
They're like, oh, no, not him.
So, Arnie's, what do you got going right now? A podcast, obviously. You're doing a podcast on ArnieRadio.com.
Yeah, every morning from 7 to 11, I'm on there, and you can listen to that. And I got my stand-up shows, so that's what I'm doing right now.
All right, good deal. And you can buy tickets. You can either go to the Club County Evil cage here at the Club County Evil and buy tickets. They're already there and ready to be purchased. You can go to the Club County Evil website.
That's where I'm sending people.
Right, and just download, you know, just click onto the to buy tickets there.
Yep.
You know, and basically that's – and I'm sure that you probably got a link on your website, too.
I do. I have a link that links everybody right to the Club Calneva website. Boom, boom, boom. Get your tickets now.
And what's your website?
ArnieRadio.com.
ArnieRadio.com. You can get your podcast and that's your personal.
Yes, indeed.
Beautiful. All right, good deal.
And opening up our old buddy Paul Spock.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Paul Spock's going to be there. I'm excited about that.
He's fantastic.
Spock's a funny, funny dude.
He is a funny dude. Yeah. Paul Spock.
Yeah, so am I, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I was going to say, just pay for it. You don't have to stay for Arnie. Yeah. Make sure you see Spock.
That's true. Make sure you see Spock. I remember the very first show he had here, Josh, and he after the show, he said, so what'd you think? I go, you know what? I go, you're actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And he took it like an insult. Like,
yeah.
He goes, oh, I was actually pretty good. Did you think I was going to suck? I go, you know, I don't know.
He said yes.
Right. But with a tone as if that might have come with some surprise.
Yeah. You should have saw the look on his face. The look on his face was like, wow, you were actually pretty good. I mean, that's the way he said it. He didn't come in there all, hey, you know, you were pretty good.
Show,
no, he like runs in there. He's like, hey. You were actually pretty good. Oh, my God.
Defied the low bar that he had set for it.
Like, wow, thanks a lot.
Yeah, compared to what bar? How high was the bar?
Well, that's for you to know.
Exactly. So, anyway, so third time Arnie's going to be back here at the Club Count Eva. And what, June 6th, right?
June 9th.
Or, excuse me, June 9th. Saturday, June 9th. Mm-hmm. Doors at 7. Probably first, you know, first comedian will hit the stage about 8 o'clock. So
yeah,
who knows? Maybe we'll pick up another comedian or two. I don't know.
Okay.
We'll figure it out. You know, be fun, though. What else is going on? Where do you guys want to start with? What's going on in Pac basketball, John? I mean, I know that we still know Jordan Brown's signing
still quiet on the Western front.
But he's actually narrowed his choices down to three schools now, officially three schools, Arizona.
Boo.
Cal.
Boo.
And Nevada.
A lot of issues with those first two schools as we've
There actually is. And he's supposed to play in an all-star game this weekend, which he has opted not to go to.
Okay.
And, you know, they're kind of – of course, everybody in Nevada wants to read into it. And they say, well, there's the other Cal guy is there, and there's another guy that's going. And,
yeah.
You know, so he's just like, maybe that's good for Nevada. Maybe he's trying to disassociate with these guys.
And just, you know, risk of injury is always there
that's true.
For that type of stuff. But I don't know. I wouldn't read into too much stuff. We know that confirmed Caleb Martin received an invitation to the NBA scouting combine. So he, of the three, there's been other workouts. I know that Caroline had a workout with
Oklahoma City. Mm-hmm.
And I haven't heard much on Cody. He'd be the first one I'd take of the three, but that's neither here nor there. So I still anticipate all three returning. And, you know, it gives us a really good shot at Jordan Brown, I think, and dare to dream big. Top five team is what they're talking around the country.
Man, it's absolutely amazing, Josh. I mean, I'm so excited, you know, and all the athletes. You know, I follow the Wolfpack on Twitter, and all the basketball players have been coming in, getting their Sweet 16 watches and stuff.
Yeah, Ken, I mentioned, I see you guys post that stuff all the time about the various recruits and what they're doing in our the Kenny B Facebook feed. It's interesting because the recruiting trail is something that is kind of difficult to keep up on. So I keep seeing those updates, and then there might be a link to a story or whatever. I check out the bio and background of the player. It's just kind of funny because it's not as if Nevada needed, you know, a whole lot of help going into next year to begin with.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're, you know, got some of these highly ranked guys in the transfer and otherwise recruiting market possibly, you know, considering that, I mean, just face it, how much impact one great player makes in basketball, how it would seriously tilt things on a national level if they just land one of those, you know, blue chip guys. But the whole process has been fun to track.
Yeah, I mean, there was even buzz before any, with the current roster that they had, they still had them as a top 15 team before any transfers or any highly thought of recruits even had a mention. So it's a fun time right now. Now we have Wolfpack baseball, Fresno State this weekend. They can wrap up the Mountain West this weekend.
Can they really?
Yeah.
They can wrap it up.
Yeah, they can clinch this weekend.
I thought they only had a one-game lead over San Diego State.
But if they sweep, San Diego State can't catch them.
But we're playing Fresno.
Yeah.
If they sweep, so, well,
if we win three.
Do we only have four games left?
I believe so, yeah.
Huh.
I think that's what I was reading.
I think there's a few more, because I think we still have to go to Vegas, and we close out.
We do. Okay.
Yeah, and then we close out the year with San Diego State. So
what
I think
that's reading.
That's okay. I mean, but I see what you're saying, but, you know, they're heading in the right direction. Like you said, went on a little skid.
Six-game
skid. Yeah. They won yesterday. I believe they beat Sac State yesterday. So, but, you know, they're still up one game.
Yeah, take that, Hornets.
Yeah, take that, Hornets. nothing like being on a skid and say, oh, here comes Sac State. Good, we'll get better. It's a great get better
Everybody
game.
Says that about Sac State. Yeah. It's like every team in Sacramento. It's like, oh, we're losing? Oh, let's play a Sacramento team.
Slump buster.
they're the Mark Grace of college baseball, or
they're the fat girl of college baseball.
Yeah, exactly. So, with that being said, you know, big three game set. Like we said, now I'm online. So as we're talking, I'm looking nine of the last. Okay, here we go. That's what I've been looking for. I've been looking for all these facts about the Kentucky Derby, and I think I finally found some. So we'll get into that a little bit now.
That they use horses, is that one of the facts?
So nine of the last 32 favorites have won the race. That's a 28% win clip. So 17 of the 32 landed in the money, 53%, stuff like that. And, you know, I know there's some stuff, too, and I didn't have time to do it because I got sidetracked today, but we'll put that up. John, you already put some Kentucky Derby stuff on our Facebook page.
Yeah, there's just all the experts, including our old buddy Chris Andrews and Brett Musburger is involved in it as well. There's a list of all the experts, who they like, win, play, show, and their dark horse, literally. So check it out on the Kenny B Facebook page.
Kenny B ESPN Sports Handicapping. And we'll get into that a little bit later. You know, the reason we're on a little bit earlier today is because we got basketball games. Josh, you got your basketball games queued up?
I do.
He does. There we go. So the first game tonight is actually going to be the Warriors and the Pelicans, right?
Yep, 5 p.m. in game three of this series after the Warriors took the first two at home. Blew them out in game one, but Steph Curry came back in game two. His first game in 6 weeks coming off an injury. And he played pretty well, 28 points, but the Pelicans hung right in there till the end, so the Warriors won the game. The Pelicans covered that one. Going back to New Orleans now, where the only time they were there, you know, this postseason, they swept those games from the Blazers to complete a four-game sweep there. You know, Warriors minus 4.5, total sky-high total of 232, because these teams have just been, you know, flying up and down the court. The second game went over, and I believe the first one was almost like a push. I think it landed 225, depending on what number you got determined the outcome. But so it's one of those things. You know, the Warriors are prone to, you know, the occasional letdown, but, you know, their first road game with Curry back in the mix, and, you know, do you lay the points, or do you think New Orleans gets a home win?
I think they get one win in this series. It's coming back game three. It's going to be exciting here. I think they can. If they're going to win one, obviously, I think this is the one. That team was playing too well. They're too talented. I understand it's the Warriors. I understand we've never seen anything like it. But I think they take their foot off the pedal. you know, not intentionally. I expect the Pelicans to have a nice showing tonight.
What did this game settle in there, right? Or has it settled in? Yeah, we still got a few minutes. Where are we at right now, exactly the current?
Right, it's actually -5 up from 4.5 opener. Warriors -5 and a total 232.
Interesting. Arnie?
Where does Anthony Davis go next year? Does he stay in New Orleans? I mean, he's too good to be. I think he's way
Or do you build around him?
Do they build around him? I mean,
yeah, he ain't going anywhere.
Oh, go to the Lakers. I think you should go to the Lakers.
I just read an article that they think that Paul George and LeBron are going to the Lakers.
No.
Yep.
No.
I just read it.
Come on.
Just read it.
That's a dumb move for the Lakers. That's replacing.
I tell you what, his performance.
Terrible with age.
I'm not a big LeBron fan.
Nor am I.
I hate LeBron, but man, his performance last night, I don't know if I've ever seen anything like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he's pretty good, Ken. I've been trying to tell you.
Mm-hmm. John, I don't care what you think.
I know.
Still
I don't
not
care
Jordan.
What you
think. Yeah, he's probably never lost a game by or blown leads like
well,
yeah.
Jordan never lost a championship. Just want to point that out. Just want to point that out.
Yeah.
Just throwing that out there. Never lost championship.
Putting that on the table?
Yeah, that's all I got.
Josh?
Yeah, you can get into that whole debate. You know, it's funny. To me, they're just different eras. It's like trying to compare, you know, artists from famous eras, right? Like, would you compare, you know, whatever, Da Vinci to
Da Vinci sucked.
Yeah, I'm serious, though. It's
Picasso's
like, why even bother, though? Who's better? It's all art, right?
Leroy Neiman.
If you want to do the Jordan, you know, the LeBron debate, you could also say, it took Jordan like 6 years to win a playoff
That's
round.
Right.
They couldn't get past the Pistons for the longest time. LeBron was in the finals his second year. So you could, you know, it's a matter of semantics on the comparison. I just say, for the guy who's, you know, current, the generation, the guy that we're watching every night now, just appreciate it while it lasts.
That's what I say. Opinion. Don't spend too much time saying he's better or not. Just enjoy what the hell you're watching.
He was just on fire last night. Step away, you know, fadeaways, sidestepping threes, then going to the hole. And my goodness, did he have a game.
Is it also crazy with the Cavaliers that a few other players actually wake up? I mean, it's bizarre. I mean, of course, we know by the thinnest margin, they barely snuck by the Pacers in the first round. Probably should have lost that. But it was literally nobody else. Kevin Love. I mean, the couple games, the one road game in the first series, they won just Kyle Korver. I mean, you just need someone else to do something barely above average, and they would win. Now, finally, Kevin Love's looking like his real self. Some of the Clarkson, some of the role guys are hitting shots. I just mean, when the Cavaliers look like more than one guy, they're pretty good.
Yeah, exactly. Game one, or it was game seven when Tristan Thompson came out.
That was smart. Like, where's he been all our lives?
Exactly.
Lives?
You need that. It can't just be him, but apparently he's good enough to do it.
And, you know, they keep talking about him wearing down, too. Man, he certainly hasn't done that yet, has he?
I don't think so.
He's only, like, 32. Everybody talks about him like he's an old man. You and I are old men.
How did he get new hair, too?
I don't know. I'm looking for that. I mean, he's got the...
You're honestly asking, aren't you?
Well, have you seen the difference between... I don't care. I'm comfortable with my baldness. I don't care about that.
It took a while.
You know, I just hear... You know, I listen to Veasan every once in a while because, you know, Musburger's on it and... Chris Andrews and Jimmy Vaccaro and all those guys are on it. You know, it's a great show. It's on Sirius. And, you know, Vinny, you know, I met all those guys are my friends.
Yeah.
It's fun to listen to those guys. But it's funny because Musburger actually will do a commercial where he just comes out and it sounds like he's talking. All of a sudden he goes, you know, I was watching the Cavs the other night. Did you know that? Have you noticed LeBron's hair? It's like, and I'm going, what's he talking about? And then, he does such a good job. He's, you know, Brent Musburger is such a great announcer. So, anyways, with that being said, where did LeBron get his hair?
Yeah, I have no idea. It's the Cleveland Clinic, obviously.
Yeah. I'm trying to figure out who's going to win this dadgum Kentucky Derby, this horse race. So, anyways, Josh, back to basketball.
Sure. So that was where were we? Yeah. Warriors in the first game. So Warriors -5, 232 on the Pelicans. That's 5 p.m. Let's go to the late game, 7:30. Rockets Jazz game 3 in Utah after splitting a pair in Houston. The Houston had dominated the series all year, regular and postseason. They had won 4 regular season matchups, all by double figures. Covered them all. Just appeared at Jazz are defensive oriented. It was just a bad matchup that they can't, you know, handle Houston's firepower. Appeared the same way in game 1, which was a blowout from the start. Houston rolled easily, and then it looks like they sort of fell asleep in game 2 because the Jazz came back. They were executing from the start, and close game down the stretch. But Utah steals one in Houston, comes back home. One game each, and the spread is Houston -4.5 and a total of 209. Now, this one's interesting. What did you guys think? I thought the first round, you know, this Rockets team is capable of those, you know, complete, you know, flat spots. Occasionally, they just don't show up. I think it's a function of a lot of things. I don't think, you know, the coach necessarily is great at getting motivated, like the first game at Minnesota. And occasionally, you know, if they show up like that, they're vulnerable. But since they lost game 2, I think they'll have, you know, a renewed focus tonight, and it's a tough one because every time I go against the Jazz, I usually lose, but I feel like Houston's the right side.
Yeah, the Jazz had a great defensive game plan against them in game 2 there, and it if they can execute that again, and I'm sure D'Antoni's going to make his own adjustments going back right at him. But it's I'm tending to lean with the Jazz tonight with both home teams. I don't love it. You know, the Rockets can flip that switch at any point, as can the Warriors. But just this spot, I'm leaning towards the Jazz at this point.
Why do the Jazz have red jerseys now every once in a while?
I don't know. Jazz is weird.
I mean, the Jazz's colors are purple and yellow, right? Isn't that their old colors?
Yeah, and then they mix in.
And now it's red? I can't.
I don't
they're
get it either.
They're too confused. They can't win because they're too confused.
I'm with you.
Can you imagine if they like came out on the court and everybody had different uniforms on? How great that'd be? It'd be like an old All-Star game. Yeah.
Arnie, the thing is, though, now it's just in sync with their team nickname, because I've always been amused by the Utah Jazz because it makes no sense culturally. Yeah, they brought it over from New Orleans and never changed it, so it's not as if Salt
it
Lake
City.
Should
be the smooth Jazz.
Right.
No,
Salt Lake City's a hotbed for entertainment.
It should be the choir.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, they could
have always kept it.
Not ended in S. Keep that, you know, going with the Jazz, yeah. But just call them the Utah Choir.
That works.
Bam.
Right.
You're welcome, NBA.
Right.
Trademark.
But it's just one of those, you know, seems like a direct contrast to. Mm-hmm. The same thing with the L.A. Lakers. No one, you know, people just don't mention that.
Just
that's
works.
A leftover one, too, from
works,
Minneapolis.
Yeah, but that
there's
works.
Not a lot of lakes around. But.
It's the Lakers. It works.
That's true.
Yeah.
The Los Angeles, no lakes. Right. No Lakers.
But so now you take Utah Jazz with different color uniforms, and now it's just, you know, they're doing everything different.
They're weird.
So we're handicapping basketball right now. We have two games going tonight. Let's go after our first commercial break. When we come back, we'll get in a little bit more depth in the NBA games and also tomorrow's games. We've got hockey to talk about, Kentucky Derby to talk about, and I'm sure Arnie's going to tell some jokes.
Maybe.
All right, good deal.
We'll
back
out.
We'll back.
I don't have one.
We'll back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B., here with Josh Nagel, John the Hawk Stevens, and Arnie States.
Howdy.
Howdy. Make sure you follow us on Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. You know, we'll have some stuff for the Kentucky Derby posted a little bit later. And make sure you follow Arnie on Arnie States. ArnieRadio.com. ArnieRadio.com.
Mm-hmm.
ArnieRadio.com. I got it. So, anyways, Josh, we're handicapping these basketball games right now. First game tips off at, dadgummit, my iPad.
5 p.m.
5 p.m. Golden State travels to New Orleans. You know, Curry's back. I tell you what, I thought that he was going to be a little bit rusty, but, I mean, he looked like he was in stroke.
Yeah, no such thing. And, you know, it's funny, he's historically, well, we know now, pretty injury-prone over his career. Every time he comes back, he has this amazing game. It's like he never missed a beat. That seems unlikely, given just, you know, the timing and muscle memory basketball takes. The speed of it, you would think, you know,
the style of play that he has, he's just on the perimeter shooting all day long, you would think.
That's true.
Well, I mean, the handles... That's part of it.
You still think an adjustment, but no, he came off the bench, hits his first three, and goes for 28 points. And Draymond Green, another triple-double. He's been playing incredible in the playoffs, and yet the Pelicans were right there. I mean, they had crazy Drew Holiday, almost had a triple-double. Anthony Davis, 25 and 15. So they were there. I mean, they're a real viable team. They're just probably, who knows, a year away. I mean, you can't with a four superstar. You know, every night, like, for instance, game two, Klay Thompson was a no-show after a great game one. He only had 10 points, like 3 of 15, whatever. Doesn't matter. More than picking up the slack. And so, yeah, the Warriors are just back for the first time, it seems like, in ages with the full strength of the roster. You know, they're right where they need to be.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Steph was probably ready to play if they had to have him a couple weeks ago. And you don't need him. It's amazing that you can have a superstar at that level and just be like, we'll roll with these guys.
You saw the Warriors.
We'll have Kevon Looney play.
They took the last month of the regular season off. They were terrible. Yeah. I mean, down the stretch was like 4-12, something like that. They didn't even care.
They have that look right now. They might lose 2-3 games the rest of the postseason, I think. It's just another level. It's fun to watch.
If you look at that futures market, by the way, right now, it's kind of funny because I took a piece of Golden State. I saw before, you know, this whole postseason started, because all year they started the season like minus $2 to win. They were the biggest in a major sport, you know, preseason champion of the future. It's the biggest price you've ever seen. Uh-huh. It went down because of all the adversity and then all the losses and people questioning, you know, is Curry going to be back? But right before the playoffs started, I got them at plus 130, and the Rockets were the overwhelming favorite. Well, they were minus 110. I said, you know, even plus 130 doesn't seem like a huge deal, but it's a bargain when you see it went from minus $2 to now getting, you know, better than even money. So I put a decent-sized bet what I could, and now look up at the board with, you know, where we are in the playoffs. Now Golden State's minus 150. So I already got the best of it by 80 cents on the dollar. And it's only going to get worse because, after Golden State completes, you know, likely sweep or whatever, five games here, you know, their price is only going to get steeper. I think, and we've talked about this, but I think, you know, there's no way the Rockets beat them four times. I don't think so.
I'm going to – that's going to be interesting to watch. That's, I just don't, as great a player as James Harden is, as great a creator with the basketball as he is, I still don't trust him down the stretch. There's just something there until he does it.
You know what it is? He still has part of the Kardashian curse.
He kind of does.
I mean, that curse is real. If you look at the curse is real.
Yeah.
You look at what it's done to everybody who's dated a Kardashian.
He got out right in time.
Wait, he did.
Kanye seems to be well-adjusted. That seems to be all right. But yeah.
That's the thing with Chris Paul as well. He's only ever, this is the second time, and he's never gone past, you know, the second round.
That's exactly the
thing. And I think combined, I mean, you put them out there, though. I mean, that combination is, you know, they're a pretty immensely talented team. You know, my general theory, though, the whole D'Antoni, you know, system is ultimately at every stop, there's been a ceiling on how far he can make it.
That's right. And even he recognized that when they asked him if it was a championship or bust, if it would be considered a success if they didn't win the championship. And he was like, you can't judge people just from championships alone. Yeah. Yeah, you can. That's what a guy who doesn't think he's going to win the championship.
Right, exactly. It's a built-in alibi for how far we go.
And that's why I think they are, and I think the Warriors are the exact opposite.
You know, I was actually...
With Draymond.
You know, coming back home, you know, New Orleans coming, the Pelicans going back home, and I was just looking to see what the first quarter line was because, you know, William Hill puts up a lot of different props, and I was kind of interested. You think that they're going to come home, they're going to be amped up.
Yeah.
It's pick 'em. It's -110 on both sides. Does that surprise you guys a lot? Because I was actually thinking that I might lay a 1 and a 1.5 in this, and now I see pick 'em, and I'm thinking that, you know, you're going to get a – this team, they've played well early. You know, most of the separation in these two games has come a little bit later.
Uh-huh.
You know, coming home with all this energy. Can you pull the trigger on the Pelicans in the first quarter?
I think so, Ken, only because if you think about the game spread, you know, sort of – spread out over the four quarters, -4.5, so essentially -1 per quarter. So that would take you down in basic principle to -1 in the first, except they're compensating for that, knowing the home team usually plays better, you know, right out of the gate. So they kind of took that point away from the Warriors. Make it a pick 'em, to me, seems fair.
Yeah, and just because it is the Warriors, that you never know when one of them is going to go off. I think that's why you don't see a -1 or -1.5 in that situation. Can I get the Warriors in the third quarter right now, though?
I'll lay
11.
John, what it really is, it's like the Warriors between minutes 5 and 9 in the third quarter. And all of a sudden, I mean, I'm in this.
Yeah.
They just went on an 18-2 run.
That's
very Nevada Wolfpack basketball-like because there's so many games where Nevada plays close.
Yeah.
Then they go on these spurts, 16-2. Then it's an 8-8 run, and then 15-1 or something like that. I mean, it's the same style of play. So the total for the first half, too, or the first quarter, 59.5. Goodness sakes alive, 59.5.
I ain't been an under.
You know, it's a high number, but you don't want no part of the over or the under, do you?
Yeah.
Arnie.
See, the last time I was here, that's interesting, because last time I was here was right before the NBA All-Star game, and you guys were talking about the over and under in that,
uh-huh,
and how you guys were, like, blown away with how high it was, but everybody said, oh, we'll take the over, and it came in under.
Didn't get close.
By far, but you know why, Arnie? That was for the first time, and that was crazy how far it went under, because for years they've just been shattering that total,
mm-hmm,
but it was the new format. The guys picking their own teams, now they took it seriously.
Oh, yeah.
When they're picking it like a, you know, street game or whatever, now
mm-hmm
they had, you know, a lot of ego invested. And
I enjoyed that.
I did too, because I thought anything to get motivate those guys to play hard in whatever all-star sport we're talking about. I mean, but it was incredible because you could tell right from the start. I mean, that was a challenge, again, to their pride and ego, and there was extra, you know, cash bonuses for winning and whatnot. They started playing harder earlier than we've ever seen, and that All-Star game went under by 100 points.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, it was crazy because I remember that. And I don't know. I mean, it sounds like a lot, but what is it, 59.5? That's what?
30-30.
Yeah, 30-30 at the end of the first half. That's not unthinkable.
Not at all.
No.
You know, the other All-Star game is the Pro Bowl's been going under too, just for the record. But
couple,
you know,
years,
going back to what we're talking about, you know, the first quarter being 59.5, the first half total is 119.5. I mean,
wow,
60-60. It's got to, you know, you got to get to 60-60. You're looking right there. But you know, I like you guys said, John. I mean, and Josh and Arnie, the total in this game was it 234, 235? Goodness sakes, that's a lot of friggin' points.
That's a lot of points.
Man,
but is it? I mean, honestly, I just asked this because when we were growing up, you think about back in the heyday of the NBA, when we had guys like Dr. J and Larry Bird in the game, and they played real defense, but they could shoot too. And you'd see games that were 125, 115, but they played defense because guys didn't
125,
miss shots.
That barely goes over.
but back in the day, they did score a lot of points back in the day, you know, because they didn't miss shots. They were good shooters.
That's true. Yeah, what's funny about that, too,
is the three-point shot being so prevalent.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, back in the day, you're right, with the Magic,
just
the Showtime Lakers, the Celtics, those were high-scoring era. But then we reverted back, right, when the Pistons got involved. So this is funny, but if you roll the clock back just about 12 to 15 years, the NBA hit a period where attendance was at an all-time low before these new rules that restrict movement and whatnot, and just, you know, you can't hand-check a guy. But for how often, John, was it not that uncommon? We saw NBA totals in, like, the 170s, and they went under.
Yeah.
But that's why the NBA was a horrible product. You'd say NBA scores
like
that were 87 to 70. 72 or even 79, 73, and that was because they basically allowed you to mug the guy on the defensive end, and you know there weren't the double teams, there wasn't the zone defense for technical, there wasn't any of that, and it was just ultimately the NBA realized we got low ratings, bad sales, whatever, we got to improve our product. It's like let the athletes have freedom of movement, and the scores just in the past few years when they started emphasizing that level of what constitutes a foul, the totals have just shot through the roof.
You know, head-to-head, the last four games have went over. I was looking at some trends. So, you know, they are playing at a high pace. You know, eventually, you know, the bookies just, they keep stepping up. And, you know, eventually they're going to hit a number where it's almost a take on the under. But, you know, I guess if you're most square bettors are going to look at that tonight and go 235, and they're going to bet it under. I think this is kind of one of those unique situations where I think the wise guys are going to have the over 235, and the squares are going to have the under 235. You know, but, you know, like I said, the last four games went over. Golden State, this is an interesting stat, too. Golden State, in their last 13 games with 2 days rest, they're 4-9 against the spread, which I found that kind of unusual, you know. So and here they are on a two-day rest right now and traveling, going back to New Orleans. So it's another reason for me to look to take New Orleans. You know, the last 11 games, Josh, the Pelicans are 10-1 against the spread. 10-1. Yep. The team's in stroke right now.
Right. And that just shows what they did. Down the stretch, they were in great form before the playoffs started. But then, of course, they covered all four against Portland in that sweep. And then they've split so far. So the only one they haven't covered in that span was game one at Golden State. That'll
happen to Portland. Just got obliterated.
We're gonna get to Philly in a second, too, John.
That's okay.
I'm not trying to be that guy, but goodness sakes.
I'm ready for it.
We're going to talk about it. Kevin Durant tonight, total points and rebounds, 36.5. 36.5. You know, that's a big number considering that Seth's back.
Yeah, exactly. And what Durant's been, you know, a little bit erratic, but it just seems like the Warriors take turns with whoever has the huge game. Overall, I mean, I would take that under because he seems to play a little bit, you know, less productive on the road.
A little bit. I'm never interested in unders there, but I do think the Pelicans are going to give them all they want.
John and Arnie, Anthony Davis, 42.5 on total points and rebounds. 42.5.
Oh yeah, easy over.
That over.
Who's going to stop McGee? I mean, local boy JaVale.
Get real with that one. He'll get 25 and 15. That's not enough.
Yeah.
Under.
You just put it in perspective. You go 25 and 15.
Yeah, 25 and 18.
Just points and rebounds?
Points and boards. Points and boards.
25 and 18. That's what he gets.
25 and 18. Man, that's a big number, isn't it, John?
That is a bigger number than I thought.
Than you anticipated? Yeah. Josh, what do you – Josh?
Yeah,
I know. As you shake your head,
well,
and go, man,
it's one
disgusting.
Of those things. It is, but you know what? It's the same thing. There have been times with LeBron where, you know, it almost doesn't matter what you say, you take it under. But I remember just last week, right, Game 7 against the Pacers, I was thinking no matter what LeBron's number is, I'm just going to take it over because I know he's going to have a great game. And then I don't even remember how, but points, assists, and rebounds for him, it was huge. It was like 55.5, something like that. Okay, all right, I can't take this over. So I just laid off. I just didn't bet it at all. But, of course, he crushed it anyway. So sometimes you can't get scared away from it. But, yeah, some of these guys just deliver every time.
LeBronto,
man, that was classy yesterday. Yeah. You know, so we look at Klay Thompson real quick. We're going through some of these props, help you guys out. Klay Thompson,
33.
Total points just on Klay. Oh. Total points.
20.
20.5. Thoughts?
Goes under by half. I just said it.
Goes under by half. I'm trying to figure out. Let's see. What is
this?
That day, Friday, Thursday, Wednesday. Trying to pull up the box score.
Klay is such – you never know if he's going to get 50 or 14. Klay's tough because if he gets in that stroke, he cannot be stopped by anybody.
I want to correct myself too, guys. Golden State's not playing on 2 days rest. The last time they played was Monday. So I just to be transparent, you know, I got confused.
So 4 days rest?
Are you sure?
Yeah,
I thought it was Tuesday. I thought their last game was Tuesday.
I don't know.
And yeah, do you include Friday, you know, the first part of it as rest? Or?
Well, I got what you're saying. Let's see what Mr. Davis did. He played 43 minutes in the last game. He had 25 points and 15 boards.
Wow. I didn't even know that when I said that.
25 and 15, John.
I didn't even know that.
25 and 15.
Then you get the bump of being back home.
Yes.
You get their backs against the wall here. I'm going to bet that over.
You still going to go?
I'm going over with it.
All right, good deal. Josh, I'm going to leave. Do you have to take a phone call real quick? So we got about 2 minutes. We got to go to break.
Okay, sure. So, guys, we were Ken's sorting through all those props, but go back to the main side and total here. So on Rockets, because I don't think we ever finished that before the previous segment. So Rockets, so we've done plenty of Warriors Pelicans, but Rockets Jazz. Sure. Again, the Utah Jazz from New Orleans originally.
Utah.
We have Rockets minus 4.5, 209, and like I said, I think the Rockets, if they had swept, had they swept at home, I'd like Utah here. But seeing as I think Houston probably got a little bit of that wake-up call, yeah, I'd probably have Houston. But, John, you said Utah?
Yeah, Utah a little bit. We're depending on D'Antoni making the necessary adjustments back to what the defensive game plan that Quinn Snyder threw at him. And I'm just not a believer at this point. I think that he sticks with his game plan and lives and dies with it. So going back home, Jazz are very good. This last 2 months at home, they haven't lost many games. So I like Donovan Mitchell just playing at an all-star level. This is a good time. This is a good matchup for. I like it going over, too.
Yeah, that's one thing about this series. I liked it as well. In fact, I say take a bad. Game one, it was 206. It fell right on. It should have flown over, but it was such a blowout, they stopped trying. And game two, you know, that one went over because I think they it's one of those things that the total is lower than it should because of the Jazz's defense, right? Second in the NBA, like 99 points a game. So they average out what both teams allow and what they score, and you just sort of take the average of it. But what you don't get against Houston is they're so frenetic. You've got to keep up a little bit just to stand a chance.
Yeah.
So it forces you faster. So I guess what I'm saying is I feel like, you know, we talked about the 232 on the Warriors. Usually you see that high with Houston. This one's way lower because of Utah's defense, but it's just the pace itself is going to, you know, force them to go up tempo. So I do think, you know, going over, and this one's been adjusted by about 5 points. The last one was 204.5, so it's been adjusted up by about 5 points, but it's lower than it usually should be.
You want me to talk about it? I just don't like the city of Houston, so I'm going to root for Utah, I guess.
You like Salt Lake City?
I've never been.
It's actually a really nice
I've
place.
Been to the airport. The airport seemed really, really nice, yeah. And I'm not a big fan of the city of Houston, so go Jazz.
All right.
You guys Ken, so we're just at your final thoughts, though. So Rockets Jazz.
Rockets Jazz? I was actually going to lead into that next segment. So.
we wrapped it up.
We're done for you.
All right, good deal. Well, maybe we'll go off the commercial break. I'll pull up some stuff and then maybe have some tidbits about that. So let's go off the next commercial break.
We'll leave. Go ahead and do that.
Okay. This is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from Club Cal Naval. We'll be back after these messages on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
All right, we're back. I'm Kenny B., your host here. Follow the show at Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. And Josh Nagel's to my right. He's from Sportsline, and he's got a lot of good stuff on Sportsline right now, a lot of articles. So you can follow Josh at Sportsline and on Twitter at Josh Nagel. Josh?
Hey, thanks, Ken. Appreciate it. And you're right. You mentioned some of the topics of this weekend. I mean, Kentucky Derby, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs. We got pretty much a variety of everything at Sportsline.com. So anyone who's interested in checking out our analysts, it's all there.
Arnie States.
Howdy.
He begging to get on the show, so we had him. And appreciate
pleading.
And we appreciate it, Arnie.
You know, I thank you so much,
taking
Kennedy.
Your time out of your busy day doing nothing to actually come down here.
I do lots of stuff. I mean, if you go to ArnieRadio.com right now, you can find a review of the Avengers. I'm going to review the Karate Kid series because it's phenomenal. Cobra Kai.
So is there a new Karate Kid movie out?
No, it's a series on YouTube Red. It's 10 episodes.
I've only seen the Jalen Smith Karate Kid.
Yeah,
so.
That's not Karate Kid. They do Kung Fu in that. Don't get me started on that because I'll be upset.
It's the Kung Fu Kid?
Yeah, it's awful. This is Danielson taking on Johnny once again in the All-Valley Championship.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's amazing.
Is it a comedy?
There's comedy in it, but it's like the real movie.
Is Miyagi in it?
He's dead. Pat Morita is dead.
I didn't know that. God, Miyagi's
dead. Oh, yeah. But they allude to him in it a lot.
Who was the leader of Cobra Kai?
That's Johnny. Yeah. Oh,
the older guy.
The sensei?
The sensei. Excuse me, John. Yeah.
I'm not ruining it for anybody. Just saying that. That's not going to ruin it.
Jeez. Uh-huh. All of a sudden, he's politically correct.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, it leaves the door wide open for next year. That's all I'm saying. All right. Next year, they better have Elizabeth
Shue. There's two shows that I have to watch. Longmire.
Brockmire,
best show on television.
Yeah. And the Cobra Kai. All
Cobra
right.
Kai is awesome.
Brockmire.
Josh over here shaking his head, going, "What
no,
in the world?"
No, I'm curious what your review was on the Avengers, though, because I've heard mixed reviews. I wasn't wild about the last one.
It was amazing, but everybody needs to realize it's only part one. There's another part to this. There's a lot of stuff that happened in this movie. And there were people actually crying in the theater. It's like, okay, wow. First of all, there's no need to cry. It's a comic book movie. But it's only part one. So just remember that. And right. Stay for the Easter egg. Stay all the way through the credits for the Easter egg at the end. That's awesome.
Don't they call that the Easter egg?
Yes, indeed. See, that's why you got me here.
Absolutely.
Mr. Pop Culture.
All right, anyways. What's the line in the Houston game, Josh?
So we're looking at 4.5, 209.
Who's favored?
That would be Houston.
I know. Anyways, I knew that. I was going through some of the stats. You know, over the last 9 games, over 7-2. So 7 of the last nine games they played head-to-head have went over. So, you know, they're going to play. The pace is going to be there. You know, if they make shots, it probably gets there. Head-to-head, Houston is 5-1 against the spread the last 6. So, you know, this series, the last 6 games, you know, has been trending to Houston and over.
We talked about that 6-year lead tour all this year. I mean, in the sense that they played 4 times in the regular season. Houston walk over every single time. Houston double-digit win, looked like the Jazz were just a bad matchup. You know, Houston's a bad matchup for the Jazz, but then just that last game where they won is the only time Utah's covered.
Houston's 1-5 on the road, their last 6 road games, too. So, you know, you kind of encompass that with a little bit, with the Jazz being 4-1 against the spread their last 5 home games. So, you know, is this one of those games, guys, where you can split your bets and maybe bet the money line on the 2 home dogs and maybe get, you know, I kind of figure that one of these home dogs is probably going to win the game tonight. And if that occurs, you know, obviously you're going to take the juice back. No, or is it too big of a risk?
Well, you know what? That would normally think that's not a bad idea. Like you said, you could sort of round robin it type of thing. And if you go 1 out of 2, like you said, you'd make money at plus 175 on both or whatever, 170. But, Ken, the only hesitation I would have on that is I feel like the huge money line underdogs, yeah, they got to dry up at some point. They've been hitting every single day. Yeah. We had Celtics last night, Cavs before that, Jazz before that. At some point, to me, that's just a regression that's about to happen. And I think you're probably right. I think one of the two would, so I guess you still could. But I think we're going to start seeing revert back to chalk a little bit.
I like both dogs, but I'll stick with the point spreads. Probably tease them back with the Celtics plus 15 tomorrow.
John, here's an interesting prop bet for you, John. James Harden, points and rebounds.
Let me guess. 39.
Okay.
Well, I'd say he averages 30. How many points and not assists aren't thrown in there?
There's a method to what I'm doing here.
Okay, so points and rebounds. But yeah, I'd say I'm right around 40.
Okay, points, rebounds, and assists.
47.
I was going to say 48.
44.5.
Yeah.
The line they have out here from William Hill, I'm looking at my mobile sports app right now, which I downloaded at www.williamhill.us, which anybody can do, full-service sports book right at your fingertips. Points, rebounds, and assists for James Harden, 44.5. He's another guy that started a little bit slow, but my goodness, when he gets in stroke.
You get that in a half.
Yeah, exactly. John, he can. You're right. That's exactly right. Josh?
Interesting.
Well, it's one of those things, too, where you talk about defense being sort of a relative, you know, term in the NBA. Because in the last game, the Rockets and Utah played well, but the Rockets shot 40%, which for them is low. And overall, you know, Utah held them to 5 fast break points. You could look at all the analytics and say, hey, you know, that they did a good job on the defensive end. Harden and Chris Paul combined for 55 points. And you would think, well, geez, you know, obviously that's a lot. That's almost, you know, 28 each. But it's the thing about efficiency now, right? So even though they had, you know, the huge game that it looks like on the stat sheet, I think combined they were 17-41 from the field. So that's the thing. If you force them into high volume, so even, you know what I mean? It's one of those deals where you could look, give up 32 to Harden and still conclude you did a good job.
I think that's the game plan, really.
That makes so. With that being said, you think that's the game plan, John? Chris Paul, points and assist. It's kind of light. It's 25.5.
I was going to say 27.
25.5. Yeah. 25.5 points and assists. So if you're, Arnie,
is Chris Paul done?
No, he's still a very good player.
Is he? I mean,
he's not the top point guard in the league like he was 5 years ago, or whatever. But he's still upper echelon. He still gets it done.
Okay. I mean, you don't hear a lot about – I mean, I don't hear about it. I don't watch the sports like you guys watch sports.
I think that's the James Harden effect of that, really, that he doesn't have to be the man on this team like he was on all those failed Clippers teams. He can just kind of blend in, and that's a good role for him at this point.
Okay, fair enough.
And then part of it is this year, too, because you realize he and Harden were alternated being injured. You know, the Houston didn't have their full strength, sort of like Golden State for the longest time. Paul was hurt first, then Harden missed whatever it was, like 15 games. They finally get back on the court together, and that's when Houston won, what was it, like 18 in a row when they got that full strength. And that's when they started becoming the odds-on favorite to win the title. So, yeah, together and with that supporting cast, some of the other guys, too. People don't realize that Ariza, Capella, I mean, that's a heck of a supporting cast, too.
It really is.
And Eric Gordon, I mean, a guy who's been a leading scorer on a couple of NBA teams.
But,
yeah, Clyde giving him a few quality minutes.
Calvin Murphy.
but with that, though, Marty, I think to your point, no, Chris Paul, as John said, if you watch him, though, when they're healthy and he's still pretty clearly, I mean, you know, the floor leader, he doesn't even seem to have, you know, dropped a step just yet.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy to see, you know, I'm looking at the current number in this game is Rockets up to 4.5, totals 209.5. For a Rockets game to be at 209, it feels like a steal, doesn't it? I mean, seriously?
It does.
I mean, especially when you've got, you know, points, rebounds, and assists by James Harden at 45.5.
Yeah.
I mean, or 44.5. That's just a crazy number.
I feel pretty comfortable betting this game over.
Man, I tell you, absolutely crazy. Let's see, what else do we got? Tomorrow, 210, Celtics, Sixers, 76ers at home, laying 9, totals 206. You know what happened, John, last night? I was watching this game, I had a really, really big bet on the Sixers, -4. I was able to get off of it, and so I ended up not winning any money, but just losing some vig. They got out-coached. The Sixer coach didn't know when to call a timeout. He just kept letting this run continue and continue and continue. After about 6 unanswered, he should have called timeout and said, "Listen, guys, settle down. Let's get." But now they're running up and down. They're taking 3-pointers on the fly and just bad shot after shot after a bad shot. And I'm watching this game going, he's not stopping the bleeding. And, you know, the Sixers being such a young team, they need that influence. They need somebody to take control, pull the reins back a little bit, because Boston's going to execute. How in the world could they be up 24 points in the second quarter and they get to half down up 4?
Second time they've blown a lead like that in that situation against the Celtics as well. And it's just they've blown a lot of 20-point leads this year. I want to say that there's at least five or six 20-point leads that the Sixers have blown. When they get into that situation, I don't know if they become complacent. I don't know if they just – I don't know what the hell happens, but it happens a lot.
It's
and
crazy.
When it was up 22, I already had the Celtics plus 4.5. I bought the hook up to 4.5. I got the Celtics at plus, I think it was 18, whatever it was. Bought into that, and it was just –
So you double-barreled it.
I double-barreled it. It's just I didn't expect them to lose the game. I really didn't. It was kind of shocking. You take the air out of the ball. They kept still flinging up these three-pointers, which it's their game. I understand that. But you also have an unstoppable force in the post.
I don't – exactly. Exactly.
But he was in foul trouble.
Well
– And that's part of it. Here's what it boiled down to.
They're contested threes, John. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. I don't mind the wide open threes. That's their game. But the fadeaway early in the clock threes. I mean, that's what drove me crazy.
And they exactly. Those are the ones that were falling against the Heat.
Yeah, Covington, Redick, but you're right. They seem to fall in love with that. But John, I thought what you said, sure, like they went up so big, the home team makes a run. But I thought it'd be the same thing. Celtics come back, then flatten out, and 76ers would pull it off. But I was surprised to just see how. We know by now Boston's just endlessly resilient. They're going to keep coming at him. But that seeming, especially down the stretch, that general lack of poise, I was surprised. I thought it'd be a one-possession game to the end. It sort of was, but how bizarre, you know, even
J.J. Redick missing a wide-open three.
Right, and Horford somehow gets the one-on-one, and B didn't seem to understand that, you know, he was half a step. I mean, he just Olayed him, basically. He had five fouls. But what does it matter? With the game on the line, you got to contest.
You got to.
And I was a little surprised at their lack of poise down the stretch.
Yeah, and it boils down to Ben Simmons had the worst game of his career. I've watched basically every game this year. He was deer in the headlights. We know he's not a shooter. He attempted 4 shots, 1 point. His plus-minus was -23. With T.J. McConnell, the poor man's John Stockton on the floor, they were +14. So his backup, at some point, I know it's Ben Simmons. I know he's the chosen one, all this I almost said the bad word. I'm not on your show yet, Arnie.
No, that's Tuesday.
But when you see that TJ is given what he's giving, that offense, the way he's distributing, the way he's playing defense, they're plus 14 when he's on the floor. I think you have to stick with TJ McConnell at that point, or even put Markelle Fultz in the game. Ben Simmons was just each. We're going to find out a lot about this young man tomorrow, see what he's made of, because I have a feeling that he's going to come back, and he's going to come back strong. And the Sixers get a victory, not by 9 points. This is in a ridiculous point spread to me. But it's we're going to learn a lot about who these guys really are tomorrow, and I can't wait for it. And, you know, I always say these series do not start until someone wins on the opposing home floor. Celtics did what they had to do. You win your two games at home. Yeah. Good job,
well,
Celtics.
But still, it's one of those things. But they were dogs both times, though, because of that, you know. Jaylen Brown, with everyone else out as well, the guy who's he's led them in scoring since they've been shorthanded.
Yeah.
So now you're essentially talking about their top two. Now their third best player's out, and they still won both. That was that's the devastating thing for
Philadelphia. Terry Rozier is just on fire. Al Horford is playing just lights out.
You know who else was?
He's a great player.
LaMarcus Aldridge. I was impressed with Aldridge, too. And Alfred and Aldridge are just playing fantastic basketball. I know they lost, you know, but I was impressed with him. But you're right. Man.
Well, for Horford, you know, for a $30 million a year player, so it's about time he had a couple good games.
He's stepping up when he has
a couple double doubles.
So it's going to be real interesting to see. 9 points, I think, is completely out of whack. I'm going to have these two dogs tonight and the Celtics on a teaser up to plus 15. I think that should be pretty safe. But you got to knock down these shots, and they have to take better care of the ball. We know that the Sixers turn over the ball like it's
more than anybody in the league.
Like they're trying to do it. But it's I don't know. They're letting Embiid. Stevens is letting Embiid get his while controlling the contesting everybody on the arc, and it's working great for him. So it's up to Ben Simmons to step up tomorrow
and what about
save
Fultz,
my
by
life.
The way, your latest number one overall draft pick. He's been a healthy scratch two games in a row, not a single minute.
The last top two overall number one draft picks combined for 1 point last night.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah. Well, it's just when if you watched Fultz in that Heat series, it just looked a little too big for him. I still think he's going to be a good player. I don't think he's going to be a superstar, but I think he's going to be a nice player and rotation player. But that's not what you want out of the number one pick.
All right, we have to head off the traffic. Arnie, I know you got something to say you want to add to this, so we'll get the parting shots on the Philadelphia. And the series price on this is going to be very, very interesting.
Yes,
I don't know if you guys have looked, so I'll give you the guys the series price. We'll be back after traffic on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Cal Neva.
Welcome back to the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B. Make sure you like the show at Kenny B. ESPN Sports Handicapping. That's on Facebook. And also, Arnie States across from me. Got a big show coming up. Top of the hour, Arnie. Time to revisit the upcoming show.
June 9th, it's going to be happening here at the Club Cal Neva, downtown Reno, Reno's best bet. See, I always say that even
that's
on
right.
my show. June 9th, doors open at 7. Show starts at 8. Pulse Box opening for me. All new material. This is the best material I've ever written.
It's the third annual,
uh-huh.
and you can buy tickets here at the Club Cal Neva at the cashier's cage downstairs,
mm-hmm.
or you can go to the Club Cal Neva website and just, you know, click on the website, and it'll navigate mm-hmm. you through, you know, the ticket broker. And you can also follow, you know, if you want to go to Arnie, follow Arnie at ArnieRadio.com.
You can follow me everywhere, ArnieRadio.com. You can follow me on Instagram and
especially
Arnie State
Tuesday.
Show.
You got to listen in Tuesday.
Tuesday, JD's going to be on the show. Hawk's going to be on the show, and he's going to curse a lot.
Yes, I'm holding it all in.
And we're going to talk a lot of wrestling probably on the show,
I'm
too.
I'm in. I'm done.
Speaking of wrestling, you just said something in the break that absolutely blew my mind away. Can it be confirmed?
It's not 100% confirmed, but look, this is what I know. I know that he has registered his vehicles.
Well, tell him who he is.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
The greatest wrestler in the history of wrestling lives in Nevada.
He lives not in Vegas.
The good Nevada.
Yeah. He lives in Northern. I'm not going to give out where.
He lives in Minden.
Okay, you gave it out. That's what I've heard. And I've heard, like I had somebody write my show the other day saying he just bought a car in Carson City, and I know he registered vehicles in Tahoe, so I know he lives in
Tahoe. I thought I heard some glass breaking. Maybe that's what it was.
So let me get this straight.
What's going to happen is he and I are going to become best friends.
So let me get this straight.
He'll be on the show every day.
Stone Cold Steve Austin apparently lives in Minden.
Yes. That
this will be found out.
That's just road trip. Just hey, what are you doing tonight? Nothing. Let's just go to Minden. He's got the fast food, right?
Well, yeah. Not only that, here's the deal. The CVI has those great country shows.
Oh boy,
and he loves his country music. Maybe we'll see him at the Travis Tritt show.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going. That way we can invite him to my show.
Yes.
Here.
Bingo.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Travis Tritt. It's the end of June.
Hey, if Steve Austin is listening right now because he likes sports, you're invited to my show June 9th. You're on my list.
You don't pay. He's
on my list. He doesn't have to pay.
You just made the list.
Yeah, look, I've even got a T-shirt for him. I'll give you an AIG T-shirt. I'll give you every T-shirt I have, Steve Austin. Just come to the show.
And I'll give you sweet chin music if you dare show up.
Arnie, I would love to see
how long that. It'll be sweet shin music at this point. I understand that. But
that's funny. Arnie, how long have you been sober?
21 years.
21 years.
21 years.
What if he says, I'll come on the show if we crack a beer?
I'd drink a beer with him. I would drink a beer.
Wow, what an influence.
Non-alcoholic.
But non-alcoholic,
I'd be drinking a beer.
Yeah, so, all right, that's fantastic. Just a rumor we heard.
Stone Cold IPA.
Stone Cold IPA. So just going over these basketball games. Warriors tip off tonight at 5:10 right after the radio show. Warriors lay it at 5, totals 233. Josh, where's your money going on this game?
You know what? Probably.
You can pass if you don't like it.
Yeah, I don't like it too much, but probably if I had to, Golden State, I just think they're rounding into form right now.
I like the Pelicans a little bit. The total is too hard to touch, but
233.
I like the Pelicans to have a big effort tonight and only.
Pelicans win, I think, tonight. This is the one game I think that they can salvage from the series. Their first game back.
That's excited.
I think they get this win tonight.
I like that angle. Plus 175. 175. I was just reading a traffic alert. Pelicans plus 175 on the money line. Rockets tip off just after this game, approximately 7:40. They're in Utah right now. Rockets on the road laying 4.5, total 209.5. John, where are you at with this game?
I like the Jazz, and I especially like it over.
So you like the Jazz and over. So, okay, I could see that. You know, like I said, it's hard to bet a Rockets game under 209.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't. If I would never bet it under. I would have it over. But I'm with you, John. I'm going to lead to the Jazz. You know, based a little bit like what Arnie said. I think this is a game where you get a huge effort from Utah coming home. They've been playing well.
I'm still taking. I'll take Utah because I don't like Houston. So I'll take Utah at home too.
Utah at home. You know,
Houston means that I'm one day.
4-1. 4-1 against the spread. Their last 5 at home. The Jazz are. All right. What else do we got here? There it is. The Celtics tomorrow. Tip off. 2:10. Boston traveling to play the Sixers. Sixers at home, down 2 games to nothing. An absolute surprise. -9 for Philadelphia and 206. Now, this is another game, John. You know, look at this total. 206.
Yeah.
I don't want any part of that under.
I know. Nine. I don't understand 9. I thought it was going to be exactly what it had been in Boston with a little regression. I thought it was going to be 4 or 5. I really did. 9 just. I'm baffled by it. Does this mean the Sixers are going to win this game by 20?
Well, let's talk about this real quick.
They're going to hold that lead?
We talked about the series price in this game. You know, Boston going into
this is incredible
Philadelphia.
For those that don't know.
Yeah, Boston is going into Philadelphia up 2 games to nothing. 2 games to nothing. Best of 7, so 1-4. The series price for this, the Celtics, you would think, you know, John, like you said, I think they'd be like a 2-1 favorite to win the series. They're -120.
-120. Basically even money.
It's basically even money that they win 2 games before Philadelphia wins 4, and Philadelphia plays games 3, 5, and 7 in Philadelphia?
6.
3, 5, and 6?
3, 4, and 6.
3, 4, and 6. Excuse me. 3, 4, and 6. Exactly. So that means game 7 will be back in Boston.
Yeah.
Wow.
-120
on the Celtics with a 2-game lead.
They're win the next 4.
They could. Arnie?
This is what I wanted to say in the last break, talking about Philadelphia and how young they are. I've been thinking about this for like 4 years now. It's this younger generation isn't taught how to win. Everybody's given a trophy. Everybody says, you know, everybody gets a drink after the game. It's not like when we were kids, you know, that we didn't get a trophy if we weren't in first place.
Joel Embiid killed a lion when he was 9 years old.
Exactly. Well, he can.
He won that.
He won that. But the team itself... They aren't taught the importance of winning. They were up by how many points last night?
22.
And can you imagine that in a high school game where they would say, hey, pull back a little bit, pull back. Not in our day. In our day, the coach would be like, step on the throat even harder, step on the throat even harder.
Yep.
They don't have it in their DNA anymore, minus the guy who killed the lion. Sorry,
yes.
I don't want to mess him. But they don't have it in their DNA anymore And you've seen it happen. Look what happened to
with his bare hands, by the way.
Atlanta Falcons in the Super Bowl. Look what happened the year before to the Cleveland Cavaliers and to the Golden State Warriors, both up three games to, one in their respected series?
Boston.
All young guys.
Boston coming back from a three-game to win.
Exactly. Nobody is taught anymore the importance of winning, and really the importance of losing, what you can learn from losing, but you're not taught to step on the throat anymore, and I think that's what we're starting to see more and more in sports.
To further that point, when you look back, when you talked about the golden age of the NBA, the Bulls had to be taught how to win, how to lose, but how to win by the Pistons, who were taught by the Celtics, who were taught by the Lakers.
Right.
And it's that lineage, it keeps going and going and going and going. The Sixers maybe need to take a little butt-whipping by these Celtics. He's a veteran team.
Well,
they have their young kids as well, but they might need to learn how to lose right now.
And that's a great point, John. And you've been saying being a Sixer fan. Being a Sixer fan, you're actually excited to where they are this year because you thought that next year was their year.
I thought next year they'd take this leap, and then the year after that I thought they'd contend for the East.
Yeah.
They were a little ahead of schedule, as if you can say. Tomorrow is when the proof we're going to see where they are, who they are, who Ben Simmons is.
Josh?
No pressure.
No pressure.
None. You put a line on the court.
Yeah, I think tomorrow's game is a pretty big litmus test for the 76ers because they are facing that adversity. You wonder how they were going to handle the first round against the Heat, even though they have a huge talent edge over Miami. But there was still the idea that, you know, championship-level coach, they had pedigree, they had experience. After Miami won game two in Philadelphia, they're like, geez, how's the Sixers going to react to this? Just fine. They went down to Miami, swept those games, and took complete control of the series. So, they were threatened once, and it seemed like they responded pretty well. But I think this is just a different deal, though, in that it's got to be disconcerting to have that edge, except with not only Boston's top three players down, and now you're in the position of favorite, and they got stunned in each of the first two games. To me, these next two are going to be the huge sign, because I wouldn't be surprised if tomorrow, it's why I'd probably like Boston with the points a little bit, because I feel like, Sixers probably win it. Are they having a little self-doubt creep in right around now?
Yeah, John, you brought up a good point.
Yeah, right, they are.
Right now Boston's only minus 120 to win the series, to win two of the next five games.
Yeah.
Win two before Philadelphia wins four. If Philadelphia wins, they're going to be the favorite to win the series.
Still down
2-1. Down 2-1.
Still 2-1. I think that probably flips, if not more, maybe a minus 30 for the season.
Isn't that crazy?
It's insane. So I think we might see a little Markelle Fultz tomorrow.
I think, what they're – this is what I think is happening. All I've been hearing about, all these wise guys have the Sixers at prices that are just way out of this world.
Yeah.
Way out of this world. Thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars bet on the Sixers in futures. And because I've been listening, like I said, I listen to Visa and, Brent Musburger, Jimmy Vaccaro, Vinny Maella, and all those guys. And they're always talking about all these future tickets on the Sixers. I think the books, they probably are giving away the Celtics at minus 120, John, trying to take some money back to limit their exposure. Yeah. And now that I thought about this for a second, I think that's exactly what's happening. So I think there is a lot of leverage on taking Boston right now. I really do at minus 120.
No doubt about that.
Look at the what's Cleveland up? Cleveland's up 650. They're 1-10. Cleveland's up 2-1, right?
Yeah.
Going home. Isn't this the same boat? They're 1-10. 1-10.
Wow.
Absolutely crazy.
Against the number one seed.
Yeah.
And it's man.
And the next game, Cleveland at home
LeBron
tomorrow.
LeBron's pretty good.
Yeah. 4.5. Cleveland at home laying 4.5, total 216, Josh.
Yeah, this one, based on what we've seen so far, and there's all the speculation, every year, is this the year Toronto breaks through? Are they for real? And they outlasted the Wizards in the first round, but that's the test for them. Usually in the Eastern Conference Finals is against the Cavs. And, the shorthanded Cavaliers, who we've seen not look great at all, even with the huge transition of role players, for them to go up there and steal the first two games in Toronto. I mean, I'm only on the Cavs here. I think Toronto's crippled now.
Yeah.
I can't see them coming back. Suddenly Toronto's going to be what? They feel less pressure. They're going to be fired up to go into Cleveland. I think they're done, and I think it's probably sweep time, and I think Cavaliers nail them again.
There's a lot of punchable faces in this league, but Kyle Lowry, for whatever reason, is number one. I've hated him since college. For whatever reason, I hate Kyle Lowry.
See, I'm not big on DeRozan, even though he's great. I'm the one who wants to punch him.
But I'm not big on DeRozan as well, and especially Drake. Anything that makes Drake unhappy, I'm all for. But, I don't see how the Raptors respond here. Cleveland's going to sweep the series. I think they just step on their necks here.
LeBron needs rest. You know, and he's playing at another level right now. I mean, that game, like I said earlier, that game that I watched last night, his performance was absolutely insane. Probably one of the top two or three performances, you know, that I've ever seen. Just everything he did just went in. I just pure.
He's one of the best guards in Cavs history.
I
think we can safely say that now.
No, I agree with that. I mean, he's fantastic, you know, and for him a chance to get there, you know, go two games at home now. If they sweep, look at all the rest they get, because if you're looking at, you know, Philadelphia, you know, Philadelphia's going to win tomorrow. So we're looking at least five games. Philadelphia's going to win tomorrow. We're going to go to five games. They'll probably win the next two games. So now we're looking to go at least six games. I mean, you look for LeBron to get some rest. I mean, this is a big game. You get another big effort at him. Yep. And you're talking about they just went on the road and just destroyed them. The number one seed. Humiliated them. So I'm with you guys.
LeBronto.
I don't really have any interest in betting against Cleveland in this series. I don't. You know, and I'm glad I almost put a big price on them, thinking that they were going to, you know, lose this series. And I backed off a little bit at the last minute. I don't know why.
Is that Frank Drebin singing the national anthem?
Enrique Palazzo.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's head off to our last commercial break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about hockey. We got hockey tonight. So this is the William Hill Sports Show coming to you live from Club Count Eva on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Now, back to the William Hill Sports Show, live from the William Hill Sportsbook inside the Club Count Eva.
Welcome back to the last segment of the William Hill Sports Show. I'm your host, Kenny B, here with John the Hawk Stevens, Josh Nagel, and Arnie States.
Howdy.
Arnie States.
So nice to be here. Thanks for having me here today, guys.
Absolutely,
I appreciate it.
But always exciting to have you. A couple things real quick, Josh, I forgot to mention. The Lane Boys are having a boxing card tomorrow, aren't they?
You know what? You are correct. And it might be tonight. Are you sure?
Is it tomorrow? Tonight?
You could
is
be
it?
Right. Is it Cinco de Mayo?
I think it's a Cinco de Mayo thing.
I saw some, you know, promotional material for it earlier today, and I thought they were saying tonight, but you're probably
I'm guessing. I could be 100%.
Okay, well, let's see. We're going to check it out, but you're right. I mean, you know, the boxing coming into town has been pretty popular. Of course, it's a good weekend to have, you know, that card with the, you know, there's a local in the main event, right? It's Oscar Valdez, and he's gaining quite a following, and hey, you know, we're supposed to have the Triple G Canelo rematch.
Yeah.
Without that, that's a way to get your fill of boxing without that rematch happening.
How bad does Triple G beat that guy tomorrow night?
I don't know. You know what? It's unfortunate for the fellow facing him because, you know, that was Golovkin's problem for the longest time, is finding suitable opponents at super middleweight because he dominated so much. Canelo thing fell through and this guy stepped up. But, yeah, he's like a 1-30 favorite. He's like minus 30 favorite, Golovkin is. And other guys, if you saw it, Wes, he worked his way up the ranks on HBO and started getting some exposure. I mean, yeah, these guys were just, you know, lambs to the slaughter. And it looks like this guy is probably, you know, maybe three rounds top.
He hasn't fought in over 2 years.
Yeah, that's not the best candidate to face Golovkin.
That's bad. Did you watch the heavyweight fights last weekend?
Ooh-wee. I want to read this.
Which ones, Arnie?
Go ahead.
Five-star recruit, Jordan Brown hasn't committed, but this just came out. It says five-star Jordan Brown, the big the forward, he's like, what's he ranked, 18th in the nation, and, you know, he's got us down to Arizona, Cal, and University of Nevada. This just came out. Five-star 2008 big man Jordan Brown was scheduled to be at the Baselite AA game this weekend, but he's not doing it. Instead, choosing to take an official final visit to the University of Nevada, meaning that he will not even be taking a visit to Arizona. His final visit, he has one visit left, and he's coming back to revisit Nevada because he was here for the New Mexico game, John.
Mus, what can I do to help us out?
Woo-wee. Don't
That's
show up.
Crazy.
Yes. Keep your distance, Stevens.
This weekend. Chris Murray, per sources, McDonald's All-American Jordan Brown will take an official visit to Nevada this weekend. Oh. It's his fifth and final official visit. He has taken two unofficial visits to Nevada already, most recently in December.
Yeah, he was at the...
I just got chills.
He was at the New Mexico game.
Yes.
I know that on an unofficial visit. Wow, that's...
So anyways...
To forego that prestigious, that's a big deal.
And not only that, it means that he can't take an official visit to Arizona, because I don't think he's visited Arizona yet.
Yeah, he may not have.
So I have to think, I mean, knock on wood, we might be down to Cal and Nevada.
Let's just get down to Nevada.
Anyways, sorry Arnie,
That was big news.
Seriously gave me chills when I read this.
That's huge.
I was thinking, oh, my goodness.
That's huge news.
No, John, like we said, you know, we're preseason top 10 right now, 7, 8, depending where you look at. We get this kid, people are saying we have potential to be in top 5. But Duke's got a beast of a class coming in. So, listen, Duke, look out. We're coming for you in the finals.
That's what I'm saying. we're not talking about You know what, Utah State? We're gonna get you, we're talking to Duke.
Yeah.
Hey, North Carolina, Kansas.
Yeah.
Coming for you.
We're coming for you. We're coming.
Well,
for
that's
you.
I mean that's big news. Obviously, nothing set in stone, but just to be in this conversation is. It's
why
pretty
would,
awesome.
I mean, you have to think. I mean, to take your final visit to Nevada.
Well, it also makes sense. He's had the unofficial visits, but to not have an official visit when they're in your top three and it's your whole future, it's pretty savvy at that. But if he's here, it's going to be beautiful, you know. It's
and what beautiful weather for him to come to.
And we know he's going to take him to Tahoe. Once you get a look at Tahoe, you're done.
Oh, yeah, man. Goodness sakes alive. Sharks Golden Knights tonight. You know, they said the biggest ticket in Vegas right now is actually the Golden Knights practices. They said it's insane.
The town is just going crazy.
Crazy.
And I think that's pretty awesome. I you know, I'm a Sharks fan, but I think it's pretty awesome what's going on down there.
And they're throwing viewing parties everywhere. So,
yeah.
Of course, you could go watch the game, but only limited seats, right? I heard, like, pretty much every, you know, property, they're in the convention, ballroom, whatever, they're doing all this. Everyone gets in there. They're watching every game. Of course, they do it when the team's on the road, but they're doing it, you know, at home, too. And, yeah, the whole town's just hockey crazy right now.
Pretty cool. I always thought it was going to be it would be a good NBA town, and judging how they are with hockey, I wouldn't dispute that.
Are they going to be that way in another couple years when they get a little other team there?
I think the fact that they're homegrown and it's such a shock what they're doing.
As an expansion
team, it's so cool. It's amazing. They're going to lose tonight. But when the Raiders get there, yeah, there's going to be excitement, but it's different.
Yeah.
It's going to be, this is Oakland's team.
You're talking about, you know, what sells out a hockey game versus a football game.
Yeah, 18,000. I think that holds 18,000 for hockey.
And 100,000 for football.
Whatever.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
And you know, it's
68,000.
It's going to be an event. You know, that's eight times a year an event. Well, if you can't count they're not going to be in the playoffs, but you count the preseason, you know, 10 games. But I think that it was the right spot, the right sport at the right time for what's going on down there.
Absolutely. So this game tips off. The puck drops at about 7:15. 2-2. I mean, I tell you what, these last games.
Domination by the Sharks last game.
Oh, yeah.
Domination.
Absolutely. Domination by the Golden Knights in game
one.
In game one. So, you know, game two and three, you know, played pretty well. But, man, I'm excited about this game. Puck drops at 7:15 tonight. 155. Golden Knights favored by 155. The total's 5.5. I look for this game to go over. I like this game to go over. I really do.
See, I think this is a 2-1. This is, I mean, game five. I think the winner of this game wins this not only the series, I think they might represent the West here.
Wow, what a limb.
No, but
what a limb to step out.
It really is because Nashville is that
a
good.
A dump?
Nashville's
the worst place on the face of the earth.
Oh, Arnie, dude, get over your ex-wife.
No,
enough,
never,
buddy.
Never.
Get over your ex-wife. That's
no.
What the hell was I saying? I hate you, Arnie. Oh. I think it's going to be a 2-1 type of game. I really do. Just the way Martin Jones is playing now and what Fleury's been capable of all year, I think it's going to get chippy. I think there's not going to be a lot of stupid penalties like there have been on both sides. And I think it goes down to the wire. It might be another overtime 1-1 going into overtime. I think it goes under. And I like the Sharks to win. I do something that I don't often do, which is bet on I bathed, yes. Mm-hmm. It is Friday. But I bet on one of my teams in a playoff situation as an underdog. I don't often do that. I am plus 135 with the Sharks, rolling with that tonight, and I'm going to have a small bet on the under.
Yeah, both teams have already traded, you know, winning on the road, so it's shown they could win. You know, both can win on the opposing ice with a hostile environment. I agree about the tight game. Like, it was weird. You know, I think the higher scoring games have been a bit of an outlier. I think the defense will be intense, and you'll probably see something in the 2-1 range. But what about? I mean, every overtime finish is just dramatic as anything, but you know, San Jose dominated the last game. Did you see the one when Las Vegas won in overtime, the goal that guy scored?
Yes.
That was just ridiculous. Oh, one of the craziest things I've ever seen in hockey, because, you know, I'm not a huge hockey guy.
The top left shelf?
Yes, Stanley Cup playoffs. But it just looked like...
Laser.
I want to say this, though. If you equated it, just made like a basic analogy to basketball or whatever, it was like he got the ball, like, you know what I mean? He just said no one was going to keep up with
puck.
Him. I mean, yeah, he gets you know, the pass, though, and it just seemed like the two guys were there. You know, they had the angle to potentially, you know, cut him off or create some friction or whatever. But the guy was, I don't even know who, you know, any hockey players' names, but he was just next level. He just decided he was going to get that shot off. I mean, just that sort of burst in double overtime, and he stops and bang from however many feet away. What was it, 30? I mean, a crazy,
it was a laser.
A crazy accurate
precision,
shot.
The
yeah. It was also it was one of those things where only the hockey players on the ice know, like when something like that goes in, it takes a while for the, you know, sportscasters, everyone to react to it.
Yeah.
So they knew instantly. And that, to me, that's one of the more impressive hockey plays I've ever witnessed.
It really is. And Vegas was really close. They had that goal disallowed in game three, I believe it was, in overtime. And it was a, it was the right call, but it was really close, verging on ticky-tack. But got that goal disallowed, and the Sharks come right back, Logan Couture, to win it. But it was, I think games two and three are more indicative of this, what the series is, than games one and four have been.
Lightning just scored to go up 1-0 over the Bruins.
Good.
Arnie, do you like hockey? Do you watch a little hockey?
I do, especially when the Stars are good, so I haven't watched in a few years.
Dallas Stars,
yep.
Shocker.
Mm-hmm.
All
That's
right.
My team.
A lot of stuff going on tonight. Still two basketball games to tip off. The Sharks and the Golden Knights, 7:15 is probably when that puck's going to drop. Arnie, I'm going to give you about a minute to talk about you. What's going on, buddy? I know you got your big podcast and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Every morning from 7 to 11 at ArnieRadio.com, you can hear the show uncensored. John's going
to
be on there on
Tuesday.
Do I
have to be there at 7?
You don't have to be there. I mean, I'll leave the door open. Yeah, I don't care. You can come in whenever you want to come
in.
But I'm going to start the show at 7 like I do each and every morning. Go to 11 or close to 11 and then get ready for the big stand-up shows that I'm doing. The one here on June 9th at the Club Calneva, downtown Reno, Reno's best bet.
How do you get tickets for that?
You go to either the Club Calneva's website or you can go to my website, ArnieRadio.com, and I will link you on over to the right places to go to get the tickets that you want for that show.
$25.
Yeah, it's a great. Yeah. I mean, and there's a possibility that Stone Cold Steve Austin could be there.
Oh.
I'm just saying, there's a possibility.
It is possible.
It's not a strong possibility.
It's true. He is a big fan of Paul Spock. I've
yeah.
heard that.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, shout out to Paul Spock, the opener.
That was a good one there.
Shout out to Paul Spock, the
very
opener.
Very well played.
We love Spock.
Oh, you're going to pay for that Tuesday morning.
I'm sure. I can't wait.
Absolutely. And make sure you download the William Hill Sports app at www.williamhill.us. It's a full-service racing sports book right on your iPad. You know, your smart device. It's fantastic. You know, you get first halves, in-play wagering, John, probably the greatest thing ever.
Yeah, greatest and worst.
The great, and us finding out that you can deposit money into your account with your credit card.
Yeah.
Greatest and worst, but fantastic stuff. Hey, Kentucky Derby's tomorrow, too. Don't forget about that. You know, we're going to have I'll have some selections on our Facebook page at Kenny B. ESPN.
And you have all the experts on there, too.
Yeah, and John posted some stuff already. So, Kenny B, ESPN Sports Handicapping. It's the field with some expert analogy from...
Good Magic is my horse.
Yeah, from Chris Andrews, from Brent Musburger, Vinny, I can't say his last name, you know, out of Vegas at the Beeson. And Josh, what's going on with you, buddy?
Now, Vinny Boombox. I just thought we might want to mention our $5 mixed sports parlay card, 40 grand now.
Oh,
get
man.
Get it while it's hot before...
40 grand for $5.
Yeah,
wow.
Before we head into summer and
no
football.
Point spread, just figure out who's going to win stuff?
Yep, right. Any sport you want.
All right. Good luck with your sports handicapping this week. Good luck on the Kentucky Derby tomorrow. See you next week on ESPN 94.5 FM.
Thanks for joining us for the William Hill Sports Show. Be sure to tune in again next Friday at 5 p.m. for all the action. This is KUUB Sun Valley, ESPN Radio 94.